Sabbath, everyone. I am an educator, and as an educator, I do not run by the clock. I run by bells. And I do not think there will be a bell sounding anytime soon, so it is good that it is potluck Sabbath and that there is a meal waiting for us in a little bit. So please bear with myself and with Kelly, because we have something to share to you this morning. This is a high Sabbath. I have been looking forward to this Sabbath, not because I am up here, but because I wanted to hear the testimony of our pastors. It is amazing how you can serve with someone for such a long time and be in a church for such a long time and eat with someone for a meal and you not know their story. Today we learned a little bit of their story. And I personally have been blessed by that. But being a good Seventh-day Adventist, I have a duty this morning, and I want to talk about Esther. I chose Esther because Esther's story of her calling, I think, is a story that we can relate to. Because there's really two types of callings in Scripture. There is the calling that is very direct. Moses had a direct calling. The burning bush experience. God was in the bush. Take off your shoes. Go to Egypt and deliver my people. That was a direct calling. Kelly is going to talk about a direct calling. Esther's calling was not direct from God. Pastor Tabor mentioned how many people in his life were asking him, have you thought about ministry? Have you thought about ministry? Have you thought about ministry? A calling is very important in ministry. And as Chuck mentioned early on today, and we'll get to that in just a few moments, each of us as Seventh-day Adventists are called. But first, let's look at Esther. There are three points in her story or in her book that I think are very important to this calling that we're talking about. The first thing is that in Esther's story is a story that is correcting a theological misunderstanding by the Jewish people. Matter of fact, Jonah's story kind of shows us some of this thinking. Jonah was called by God, and he thought he could run away. Why did he think he could run away? It's because the Jewish people thought that where God was only in our borders of Israel. And specifically, God was only in Jerusalem. Esther is in a foreign land. The people are not in Israel. They are away. They are in captivity. And so the first thing about the story of Esther is that it is correcting a theological misunderstanding about God is everywhere and God will take care of you no matter where you are. Secondly, in the book of Esther, there are a host of reversals in this book. For example, Esther is an orphan. Orphans were the lowest of the low. She becomes queen. Hollywood would be very happy to be able to tell this story. A rags to riches story. Secondly, a reversal. Haman is building his and scheming against Mordecai. He's building those gallows. And we find out later on in the story, those gallows are used to for his destruction. Third reversal is that there is a decree to kill God's people, the Jews, and at the end of the story, they prosper and they are restored. The third thing I want to make clear in this story, or in this book of Esther, before we look at her calling, is, are you aware that in Esther, God's name is never used, not once? Never. You will not find God's name once. And yet it is evident as you read the story that God is present, he is working, and he is with his people. And so we come to the calling. And as I said, I chose Esther because it is really a simple calling. It did not happen over days, over weeks, over months, over years. It was actually a simple conversation that had very dire consequences depending on what took place, what the decision was going to be of Esther. But it was a simple conversation. And it was not even a direct conversation. Mordecai would talk to the runners, and the runners would go to Esther, and then Esther would talk to those runners, and they would go back to Esther. It wasn't even direct. And yet, in this calling, Mordecai recognizes God's hand in placing Esther where she is, for her position and at this time. Now, we don't know if Esther realized this at all. Certainly, the verses leading up to what Mordecai's response to Esther was that Esther was giving all the reasons why she couldn't go and talk to the king. But Esther, once she heard what Mordecai had to say, she followed this calling. She went and served her people and saved them from certain death. As Seventh-day Adventists who were awaiting the coming of Jesus, we too are called. We are called to be the eyes, the hands, and the feet, and the ears of Jesus. When the disciples were with Jesus in Matthew 24 and 25 records this, Jesus is talking about some of the signs that are going to take place, and what do you think the disciples wanted to know? They wanted to know when this would happen. Well, over the next two chapters, Jesus does not talk a lot about the when. He talks about waiting and watching. And then he goes to explain what waiting and watching means. And at the end of chapter 25 of Matthew 25, verses 33 through 46, he talks about how God's people at the end are going to take care of those who need clothing, who are thirsty, who are hungry, who are in prison. That is what it means to be called. That is what it means to be Adventists awaiting the coming of Jesus Christ. And so this is what our calling as a Corona Seventh-day Adventist church, as people who believe in Jesus Christ's soon return, that is our calling today. To be the eyes and the ears and the hands of Jesus. I hope and pray that this week in our as we go throughout our week with our occupations, whatever it may be, in healthcare, in the business field, in education, whatever it may be, we recognize that in what we do have a vocation, and that vocation is to respond to the calling that each of us have. I look at it as, I guess, the three C's. Easy to remember. We are called to serve our church, to serve our community, and to serve our co-workers. Let's exercise this as a Corona Seventh-day Adventist church this week to be those eyes and ears and hands of Jesus.